Welcome everyone to the next episode of our podcast Drift. This is Grace Ann and my co-host.
Hi everyone, it's Avery.
And we're here today to talk with you about our student grant program, which we're very proud of over the years of St. Barnegat Bay hosting it. And we have our very own student grant participant with us who we're going to introduce you to in a moment. So he can talk about his experiences. We'll tell you about the history of the program, the things you can do to get involved in the program this coming summer, and some of the things the program has been able to accomplish over the years of us hosting it.
So we're very excited to have you join us on this episode. There's a lot of really exciting things coming up at Save Barnegat Bay as we are looking ahead towards the spring and summer seasons.
Welcome. I'm Avery.
And I'm Grace Ann. And this is Drift, a podcast exploring stories and science of Barnegat Bay's past, present, and future.
Hey, everybody. So my name's Rory Hogan. I'm a two-time participant in the student grant program. I did two projects with the program. The first time I did it, I was part of the Sedge Island Marine Conservation Zone doing a biodiversity study. And then the other time I was part of the Raleigh water quality team where I was helping measure E. coli in various parts of the Toms River.
A lot of things that Rory mentioned that we're going to break down for you in our student grant program. So hang with us throughout the episode and we are going to introduce all that awesome stuff.
Yeah. And Rory, could you tell us a bit about who you are? How did you get to this program?
I am currently in my senior year at Stockton University, finishing up my last semester studying environmental science. And I discovered the program in high school right before going into college, just through advertisements and through instructors. And so I was very interested in nature and all of that and was really happy to participate. And so I'm always trying to be involved in as outdoorsy as possible.
And you're from the area, right? So you have a special connection to the bay and the work that's being done here.
Yeah, so I've actually grown up right on the Toms River my whole life. So I've been here since I was born in Toms River, New Jersey. So it's really great to work on these projects and work on the local area.
So our student grant program has been around at Save Barnegat Bay since 2007. And it was started by a legacy scientist named Paul McLean, or more affectionately and locally known as Pete McLean. The program begun out of his vision to encourage young scientists to not only study Barnegat Bay, but to then bring their talent back to the area. So ideally what our program does is empower young people to do science on Barnegat Bay. All of our young scientists have to write a paper by the end of their time with us, and they also have to produce a poster and an oral presentation. And you can find those papers on our website, as well as those presentations, or at least the more recent ones, on YouTube. And you can check out even some images of their posters there as well. So you can see some of the science that the students have been doing since 2007. And we've had over 100 students move through our program since it was officially established.
Students who are a part of this, and Rory, maybe you can jump in here with your experiences too, are contributing to very real scientific research that feeds into these larger bodies of knowledge on the Barnegat Bay. So it helps us keep a tab and a pulse on what's actually going on in these ecosystems that contributes to greater initiatives such as stuff that we do or the Barnegat Bay Partnership and other groups like that. So Rory, how did it feel kind of being involved in all of that and knowing that you were playing such an important role in real world science?
It felt awesome, honestly. And it was really good from a student perspective because you spend a lot of time in school focusing on solving problems, but you never always get that real world application process. So being able to go out there and just actually apply statistics and scientific thought and get an actual solution that you can physically show people, it feels really good. And it really feels like it increases your education.
That's really wonderful to hear that people have found this program so fulfilling on a personal note, but also and what it fits into the context of with their career journeys as well. I know that's something from the foundation of this program that Pete, who started it, and others who have continued it were really concerned about. They wanted this to be meaningful. So you're really getting your hands in the dirt, going out in the water, out in the field with mentors who can really guide you through all of that is wonderful. And another exciting thing, we found out that some alumni from the student grant program actually have peer-reviewed articles published now. So that just kind of speaks to the trajectory of where some of these students are on as scientists. It's really wonderful to see that they're published, they're continuing their work, and most importantly, keeping their passions alive.
And I think for the students too, I don't know if they realize this because oftentimes they're not coming back sequentially like Rory has. Students might be doing research in the 3 months that they're here in our program. And then that science is influencing questions that other scientists are asking about those same problems. So in our previous episode, immediately before this one, Avery and I discussed the Rally for Barnegat Bay project with our partners at Clean Ocean Action. And what folks may not know is that the true origin of that whole problem, learning about the excess pathogen pollution in the Toms River, was first discovered to be a significant issue by students in the student grant program many years ago. And so while that program and that solution evolved over time for us figuring out what our plan of action to address that problem was, it couldn't have been found in the first place without students those many summers ago finding continuously excess bacteria in the Toms River. And now many years later, another student, Rory himself, was able to participate in that project and contribute to the real science that's happening for that project currently. So it's not just a 3 month, you know, research paper that gets put on a shelf and oh, wow, that was a really cool thing. You know, students are influencing questions that maybe other students come back next year and continue asking further or delving further into, or scientists at larger entities that have more money and more time in the, you know, academic research field are able to further investigate.
There is this handoff that's happening so directly between the collection of scientific data and advocacy and education groups that are specifically intending to use that in their own work. As Grace Ann mentioned, a lot of times we exist in these silos where there's this wonderful data being collected that's really sophisticated and important. But without that kind of communication in between of how we can then interpret that to move it into action, it makes it difficult to use in a lot of ways.
A little bit more about Pete himself. You know, he was very committed to academic research, and he was a wildlife biologist and conservationist. And in our area here in Barnegat Bay, those of us in the conservation and environmental, you know, work every day know him as the person that brought back the osprey to the Sedge Island Marine Conservation Zone and the rest of Barnegat Bay. He was able to successfully introduce the peregrine falcon. He did subaquatic vegetation studies. That's the vegetation that lives underneath the water. He did plant studies that of plants on the land, and he worked in many other sectors as a biologist himself. But kind of the place, the literal place that I learned about him in my career and the place that I think most of us kind of identify with Pete, one of the projects that we have successfully hosted every year of the recent, I think it's been 5 or so years, the Sedge Island Natural Resource Education Center has hosted the Sedge Island Marine Conservation Zone Biodiversity Study. And so our students in the student grant program are the only researchers looking year after year at the biodiversity of fish, invertebrates, and small creatures in and outside of the marine conservation zone. So the Sedge Island Marine Conservation Zone is the only one in the whole state of New Jersey. It's located on the backside of Island Beach State Park, just inside Barnegat Inlet. So if you go from Barnegat Inlet north, up to a place that many will identify as Ticey Shoal. The Sedge Island Marine Conservation Zone is just south of that. But in the conservation zone, our students have been looking at the biodiversity of animals inside and outside, trying to see if there's more diversity of animals inside the protected area versus outside of the protected area. Actually, instead of listening to me talk about it, Rory actually participated in the program and worked on this for one of his grant years. So Rory, can you tell us more about that project? And it is one of our team projects that repeats every year. So it's a legacy piece that each student has been a part of.
Yeah. And one of the great things about both of the grant years I did was they were both team projects that built on the year prior. So it was really cool to be part of like this evolution and passing of the torch in scientific thought. But one of the things I really liked about the Sedge Island Marine Conservation Zone was just the general sense of community in that area when you did research. Everyone was always very friendly. It was a very great area to go into work. And it was a really good project to go into that had real world applications because we were measuring biodiversity both inside and outside. And there was a lot of interest from fishermen, both recreational fishermen and commercial fishermen, in the findings that we were having. So it was a very community involved project to be a part of that was really cool. And it was very frequent to be out there answering questions with people. But we would go out and we would sample and even amount of samples for both inside and outside of the zone. And we'd want to look at the different habitat types and we'd want to see what animals were living in those habitat types, but also the diversity to make sure the communities were good. So we would look at things like seagrass beds. We would look at just empty, just pure sand. We would look at a mix. We wanted to know if this place was mainly an algae dominated area, what was living there, and then really what was the implications of having those species there.
I want to make sure that listeners have a full picture of what the Sedge Island Marine Conservation Zone is really like, because it's one of the most breathtaking places in the watershed, and I would even go so far as to say in the state of New Jersey. Could you explain kind of what it was like being out there and what that place means to you?
So actually, that was one of the things I wanted to talk about, was because that's actually one of the main stories I always tell people when like my friends ask me stories about the bay, was it was so cool because you'd enter the park very early. I mean, there were days we would load up our boats like 5, 6 a.m. while it was still dark out in the summer, and the lighthouse would still be lighting up the bay. So it's definitely, it's such a scenic spot. And you have a lot of birds out there that you see, egrets, herons, terns. And just when you pull up there in the boat, you leave the dock and you get to the little island where we have everything based. We have the old duck hunting lodge. And it's a really, really great scenic area. I remember sitting on the north porch, I believe, in the Sedge Island Conservation Zone. And we were just watching the storms come in through the inlet. And it was such a great scenic spot. So really just a really great part of the bay to be in. And it's hard to say it with words, but it is a really beautiful landscape out there.
Yeah, I've spoken to a lot of people who said that's the place that they kind of first fell in love with the bay. That really took their breath away. I remember going down as a kid down to Island Beach State Park in that part of the watershed and just almost feeling like I was stepping into another planet. It's so natural and wild down there, and there are wildlife flying and swimming all around you. It's really incredible. So it's kind of poignant that Pete's legacy, I think, is carried on in that way to this new generation of young scientists and young people who are falling in love with it in very much the same way as he did all those years ago.
I would describe the Sedge Island area as being quiet and loud in the same breath. Kind of the noise of people just kind of fades away if it's really early in the morning as the sun is rising on the ocean and there's not quite too many boats out roaring around just yet. And there's just this very calm sense of no people, but then there's just this cacophony of noise of birds and frogs, you know, that quiet moment is the best time to really get out there and do that science because there's not a lot of disturbance all going around. Because when the day kind of starts to get later in the Sedge Island Marine Conservation Zone, there's a lot more activity from people. It is protected for the animals, but it's also kind of protected for people. It's there for all of us to be able to recreate and enjoy this piece of the bay without there being a lot of other disturbances back there.
And Rory, it sounds like this was a rather impactful experience for you. I'm kind of curious, do you feel that this experience shaped the trajectory of your career at all? Do you think it gave you kind of a better understanding of where you want to take things as a scientist?
Yeah, it definitely was. And I liked how you described it as being on another planet, because Sedge Island was my introduction to field work. So it was very much like stepping out onto Mars when I went into the wetlands. And it did influence it a lot. I'm actually looking forward to applying for a coastal zone management degree. So it really did shape my career trajectory in the sense that coming out of high school, it was always open ocean, marine biology oriented. And after working at Sedge, it definitely became more coastal wetland approach to my career. So it was very influential.
There was another, so you worked on the Sedge Island Marine Conservation Zone biodiversity team, and you contributed to that legacy. And then last year you joined a different team and you joined the Rally for Barnegat Bay Water Quality team. And so listeners who are dedicated to our podcast, like I said, will have heard last episode and heard all about that project. But would you like to dive a little deeper into the work you did for the Rally project and talk about your experience with that?
Yeah, so it was a much different project, but it was still a very great project to be a part of. And what we were looking at was different areas along the Toms River to test for coliforms and E. coli. So anything from human waste to pet waste to just wildlife waste, to see how that was impacting different water areas, recreational beaches throughout Beechwood, Pine Beach, Toms River. And we were going around testing using different methods to really just see how good or bad the water quality was, and just find out the impacts that different levels of development. So if you were in a residential area, if it was an undeveloped area, or maybe like a more urban area within Toms River, to just see how that impacted the local water quality.
So I just want to clarify for our listeners that when we say water quality, we mean the health of the water. And when Rory says E. coli and coliforms, he's referring to bacteria specifically. And those bacteria are what we call pathogens. In this case, we're looking for specifically things from human waste.
Rory is contributing to really important data for the Rally for Barnegat Bay project. So as Grace Ann mentioned, if you listen to our last episode, you might already be somewhat familiar with this, but this type of data provided in many ways a baseline level of information on the general health of the Toms River, which is of course the largest tributary into Barnegat Bay. So that's how it fits in all of our mission. Once this information is collected, we can move through the different initiatives of the project. So once we kind of have a pulse or a heartbeat on how the river is doing, we are then moving to the community science portion where they will be taking water samples and testing that as well. We did the field investigation with the dog. We've engaged municipal people and local leaders. So as you can see, it's all really building on this baseline level of scientific data that these students help contribute to. And I really loved hearing their presentations this past summer on how they went into the field and took these samples and spoke with members of the community who were always very curious about what was going on. I know I went out there a couple times myself, and everyone was always like, oh my gosh, what's that fancy equipment you have with you? What are you doing? Because it impacts their, you know, their swimming beaches and their local community spots. So was that your experience as well, Rory? Were people kind of interested in what you were doing out there with all that equipment and such?
Oh yeah, absolutely. It was funny. So we would actually transport a lot of our samples in coolers to keep them at the proper temperature. And so people would come by and there'd be like a picnic at this hour. And we'd be like, well, no, actually we're doing some scientific research. And the community was extremely interested. It wasn't uncommon for people to be driving by and roll the windows down and ask what we were doing and even just ask what the results were and what the results meant. So it was really a great thing to be able to communicate with those community members. And there were times we would pull up to test the site and people would be swimming in the water and they'd want to know what exactly was going on with the water. Is it okay? We kind of laughed because we were talking to one person and they're like, so does that mean don't stick my head underwater? And we were like, no, this site's okay. Like, it's So it was really good to be able to talk to the community and just give them that level of transparency where they knew what was happening.
And if you're curious to find the water quality teams out this summer, they wear reflective yellow crossing guard vests that say water quality team on them. And so you'll see those students out around the Toms River again this summer. And you might also see them down your lagoon communities for our jellyfish project, who also do water quality studies similar to the ones the Rally students are doing. So if you do run into students, you can be sure to ask them questions about what they're looking at and see if they'll be as nice as Rory was to explain what was going on.
As I said, it's a cool kind of in-between communications thing going on where these students are doing sciencey stuff, but they're really interacting with the community and interpreting this on a community level, which is really high order stuff to be a part of. With what Grace Ann just mentioned, talking about what's coming up this summer, we have some upcoming deadlines. So you or maybe a student you know can get involved with this program and continue the legacy that Pete McLean started and people like Rory have been a part of.
Yes. And I just want to take a moment to thank all of the mentors and folks that help guide our students through all these deadlines and logistics, writing the papers, doing sound science, helping them understand how to work through these procedures all in such a short window of time. First and foremost, we have to thank Dr. John Winnick, his continued support of this program over its legacy, and then his continued dedication to the students themselves and any one of his students. And I was very lucky to be one of his students as a young person, but any one of his students will tell you that he's impacted them throughout their time in high school and then their time as an undergraduate student and then through our student grant program. And so he's really been one of our very strong leads on our student grant committee of professionals from across the watershed who have contributed their own expertise. Some are scientists, some manage parks. Some of them were participants of our program in the past and are now fully established postdoctoral scientists. And we have them from all different areas, from Drexel University, from NRCS, and from the Ocean County Soil Conservation District, Ocean County Parks, and the list goes on and on. So I just want to take a moment to thank all those professionals that take time out of their day to participate in our committee and then also guide the students throughout their work. And so if you think that this program sounds like something you or someone you know would like to get involved in, you can go to Save Barnegat Bay's website and click on the word educate and scroll down and find the tile that says student grant program on it. You can read bios from our previous students and also quotes from our previous students about their experiences, and then also find our scientific papers collected from all of the years of the student grant program. And then you can go ahead and click the word student grant application, which is a big blue button, and there you'll find the application. So the deadlines are as follows. If you would like to participate in this summer's student grant research cycle, you need to get your applications in to our website by March 25th. That's the final day that you can submit applications by 5 p.m. Then the committee will meet and select the applicants based on their merits. And then from there, students will be asked to do a midpoint presentation, which is a chance for us to help them with their public speaking skills and guide them on any final research procedures. And that is tentatively in late June. And then at the end of August is tentatively around August 12th, give or take a few days, students will be asked to do an in-person final presentation with a poster that will help you print and produce. And finally, a week later, at the very end of August, right before you all go back to school, you will submit a final report. And all those deadlines are on our website.
So that just about wraps up our conversation about the student grant program here today on our podcast episode. Thank you, Rory, for being here and lending a really exciting perspective into what this program is like on the ground.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me.
And don't forget to look out for our documentary film Drift. There's a really beautiful segment about Pete McLean and his involvement in the student grant program that we hope inspires our Barnegat Bay family and perhaps gets them involved in this program as well. So thank you so much for being here, Rory. Thank you for tuning in to this week's installation of our podcast. As we have said before, we have lots of exciting episodes throughout the rest of the year. We're going to be sticking to about 2 per month. So thank you, everyone. Follow us, all of our socials. We are Save Barnegat Bay on everything, on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, everything under the sun. And be sure to connect with us on our website or email if you have any questions, or swing by the Eco Center. We love seeing and meeting you all and hearing from you.
See you next time.
Bye. Bye.